Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and apricot, I do, eh?
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Kevin Cunningham, and Kevin is from Shake Fork Community Farm in Arcata. Kevin, tell me about how you got started in farming.
I've been farming here in Humboldt for about 8 years, and I started working on Warren Creek Farms with Paul Gentoli. And when I first moved up here, I got very lucky, and he was the first farmer that I called, and I worked for him for several years, and that was kind of the beginning of me getting into farming.
What made you think that you might want to get into farming?
I was just looking for something different and something connected to the land and wanting to know more where my food comes from, more of the process of how it gets from the field to the store to my plate. And so I started tracing back, and farming was the base of where I got to.
And then working for Paul, how did you decide then to go off on your own and start raising grains?
Well, my current business is kind of a combination. I had also ran a couple of vegetables CSAs, community supported agriculture projects, where people would get their weekly allotment of vegetables. I ran one at the CR farm, College of Redwoods Farm, down in Shively, and also at the Arcata Educational Farm here in Arcata. And kind of melding that experience along with some of the larger scale tractor-based farming that I learned from Paul, as well as kind of taking the knowledge of growing dry beans, which is one of the things that Paul does very well, and doing something new and kind of filling a niche that hasn't been filled commonly for a very long time in that area. So it's kind of a melding of these different experiences that I had within my early years of farming.
Do you know historically if grains have been raised in Humboldt County before?
There have been definitely areas where grains were raised, and pretty much every area at one point used to raise at least a portion of their grains prior to large-scale shipping and the infrastructure in order to get food products from one, you know, part of the country to the other. There was actually award-winning grains grown in the Hoopa Valley. I have an old document that says how much wheat and how much oats were grown in Hoopa, and it actually won a prize at a World Fair.
I had talked to some old-timers out in Hoopa, mm-hmm. and they had told me about that, about grain growing in that region, and it was just hard to imagine, just knowing kind of how mass-produced you imagine grains are with big machines going through flat fields, and mm-hmm. thinking of that area being a little more mountainous or hilly, mm-hmm. and so I guess, you know, because the machinery had changed, maybe that's the reason why grains kind of went out of being grown in the area.
Yeah, and if you think historically with grain growing, as humans have been growing grains for about 10,000 years. That's a really long time. And the actual mechanization of grain production only spans at max 100 and 150 years. So that's a really short amount of time that things have kind of gotten very big. Even a lot of the small scale equipment that I use is at max designed to handle about 10 to 15, 20 acres tops. And it's from 1954. And that was state of the art in 1954. So in 50 years' time, there has been this massive industrialization of grain growing, and it's fewer small farmers, fewer small fields of grain. And so, you know, when I put it in perspective like that, I can definitely see 10, 20, 30 acre fields easily in a lot of areas in and around Humboldt County. We've got really good soils in certain areas, but they're not thousands of acre tracts. But we have plenty of smaller agricultural zones that's more suited towards the type of agriculture that I'm, you know, going towards, and historically, not too long ago, was that way.
How many acres do you have on your farm?
Currently, I'm growing about 15 acres of mixed grains.
And what type of grains do you grow?
Last year, I started with oats, about three different types of oats, and barley and buckwheat. Over the winter, I was able to plant wheat, rye, and also overwintered some oats. I'm currently planting more barley and more buckwheat and possibly a few other things this year.
What are those types of crops typically used for? Who buys them from you and what do they use them for?
The majority of my product is sold through my CSA. I have shareholders that buy upfront into the farm and then receive monthly distributions after the harvest. I grind flour. I do cracked cereals. They also get a few whole grains, and it kind of varies every month. I have been selling also a few whole grains at market. most of my product is actually sold through the CSA.
Are there restaurants who are members of your CSA, or are they individuals? And how much quantity are we talking about as part of a share?
A share is about enough for a good-sized family. We do have a couple people who share a share, single people who will split it with somebody mm-hmm. else. But really, it's designed for a family that will bake occasionally. Most of our shareholders find that it causes them to cook more, and it kind of rearranges their lifestyle so that, you know, when you're receiving this, to think, okay, well, what do I do with this, and how can I integrate this into my daily cooking? So they find that they actually bake a little bit more often. They're eating more whole grains rather than processed products.
Does the flour keep as long as the flour that you would buy in the store, flour that's stone ground at your mill?
Well, it certainly is fresher than what you get in the store. And that's the benefit of that, partly why I do monthly distributions as opposed to one big allotment where you get your year supply, because that way the flour is fresher. Because once the grains are cracked, those oils have a tendency to go rancid, but it'll last for the month just fine.
And nutritionally, I imagine that's better, having these fresher grains.
Mm-hmm. It certainly is better nutritionally, and it actually utilizes more of the grain itself. Monica Spiller with the Whole Grain Connection down in Davis wrote a paper that had an amazing statistic to me, is that through the modern milling of wheat, we actually lose 25% of the actual mass of the grain because they remove the bran in order to make white flour. And I just think about the 25% more food we could actually be, you know, utilizing if we stone ground all of that.
You think about feeding an area to lose 25% of your harvest is a huge loss.
Yeah. And, you know, it goes into other waste streams and is used in industry and animal feeds. And so it doesn't get wasted. But, you know, when you're actually grinding the entire grain, you get more bran, you get more of the minerals and the vitamins, as well as the oils from the actual germ itself.
How many shareholders do you have?
This first year, I had about 70 shareholders. And this second year, I hope to expand to about 100 shareholders.
Wow, that's quite a few.
So it's a considerable amount, you know, considering it's about 100 families.
I've seen you down at the farmer's market. I know that you sell your oats and barley down there at the farmer's market. Has that been a good way to kind of get the word out about your shares? And is that really your main reason for being down there, is to kind of encourage people to buy these local grains?
It certainly did. Last year, I sold a lot of shares at farmer's market. And it's a good public way for me to get my face out there. And I also partly do it because it's fun. I really enjoy the more personal connection I get with my shareholders, because I see them every month. We can exchange recipes and ideas. But also farmers markets is a similar thing, but it's a different crowd often. And I like all the farmers that are around there. It's a real strong farming community here in this area. So, and it is nice to kind of promote the whole grains, which I sell at market as well.
This all sounds really good. Well, one other question was your name, Shake Fork Farm. Where does that come from?
A shake fork is actually a traditional agricultural tool. It's one of the more ancient tools. It's essentially a sapling that's split on the end, and it's the primary pitchfork. And it's usually just a two-pronged fork that's used for collecting hay or cut grains, you know, not so long ago when we used to cut them by hand. And so it's named after that, and it has family connotations as well, but it's also primarily just thinking about the origins of agriculture.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've been talking to Kevin Cunningham.
Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you apple, plum, and I forgot I do.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call our listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU and KHSR for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.